I don't know. Does that sound like a call to be a part of a country club? No, it doesn't. What makes us think that when Jesus said, "Come follow me," that we were to become docile, domesticated, and over-medicated with hollow religion? What made us think that? If that's what we're here for, if that's what we're about, to be this... I can't say it, but anyway, then this whole thing called Highland Christian Church, we should just scrap it and start over. If we're just here to be a country club, that is not what we're about. You know, when Jesus, he calls us to simple faith, not religion. A faith that is raw, untamed, a primal faith that makes our souls alive to God and allows us to see the invisible and hear the inaudible. It's not safe following Jesus. It's risky. It's wild. It may seem at times barbaric. Some people will call it crazy. Some people will say it's foolish. My family are big Rocky fans. We haven't seen Rocky VI, so don't tell us what happens yet. But in the movie Rocky III, the trainer, Mick, he tells Rocky, "But then the worst thing happened that could happen to any fighter. You got civilized." In the church in America, some of us have become civilized. Oh, it's the worst. We've somehow forgotten that barbaric edge to those words, "Come follow me." You see, the civilized, they build shelters and invite God to stay with them. But barbarians, they move with God wherever He chooses to go. The civilized Christian has routine. The barbarian disciple has mission. The civilized believer knows the letter of the law. The barbarian Christ follower lives the spirit of the law. The religiously civilized love tradition. The barbarian spirit loves challenges. The civilized are satisfied with ritual. Barbarian disciples live and thrive in the mystical. For the civilized churchgoer, religion provides stability and certainty. For the barbarian Christ follower, a life in God is one of risk and mystery. I know what I want. Jesus' closing instructions to his followers can be summarized in one word: go. Go. But a quick survey of the modern church would lead you to believe his invitation was, "Come and listen." And you would think his closing mandate would be summarized in one word: no. That's the impression you get from the modern church today, mostly in America. But before Jesus ascended into heaven, here's what he told his followers. He said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." How was Jesus sent? You look at it, and it looks a little crazy, looks a little scary. But that's the way we're sent. This vision that you heard up here, the "come follow me," it's dangerous, it's risky. Look, we're not called to be a barn or a storage silo as a church or just a place to stockpile people. We are to be a launching pad. We're sending out people. We're not to be collected. We're to be sent out. Around here, we don't expect the unchurched people to come to us at our Sunday gatherings. Did you know 60 to 70% of Americans don't come to church anymore? So the church needs to go to them. This is part of what it means to be a missional church. Highland Christian Church is a missional church. We're finding ways to share the unchanging message of Jesus Christ with relevance. Acts 17. We are finding ways to help release people to reveal Christ in their everyday lives. What are we releasing people from? From busy, churchy activities. So we can be where in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, with our families, where we can truly be salt and light. We're trying to build community, to reach a community, Ephesians 2:21. As a missional church, we are being authentic with God, one another, and ourselves. We've got to get real, Ephesians 4:25. We are finding ways to pass the baton of faith and leadership to the next generation, Psalm 71:18. Even when I am old and gray, God, do not forsake me till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. That is my prayer and my heart, the next generation. We're rejecting the mediocrity of being an American Christian, embracing the transformation of becoming a Christ follower, people who are fully and actively devoted to Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:15 and verse 20. As a missional church, we hate sin. We aren't going to tolerate, we aren't going to mess around with it, but we extend the love of Christ to the addict, to the prostitute, to the homosexual, to the guilty, to the lonely, to the confused, and the homeless, because all people matter to God. Amen. Romans 5:8, 1 Timothy 2:4. Being a missional church means we're going to try new things and new ways to engage with our community through relationship and service. If you don't know it, that's the way evangelism is today. It's what our culture can understand, relationship and service. When we try new things, it means we're going to take some risk. To take risk, you need to have faith. Highland, in the year 2007, has some steps that are going to require faith. But taking steps of faith is nothing new to this ministry team that's been leading this church, and it's nothing new to many of you here. I'm always kind of a guy that has a theme for the year. Last year, our theme was Rediscover the Fine Art of Living. And I'm still working on that. I haven't got it down. So, I mean, it's a theme for life. But anyway, it's time to move on. And the theme for this year is I don't know how to verbalize it. And so the theme for this year is a non-verbal theme. Okay? So here's the theme. This is the theme for the year 2007. And, yeah. It's open hands, it's surrender, it's praise, it's prayer. It's that. That's our theme for the year. Man, 2006 was just amazing. I'm amazed. In 2005, there was no church. And then God brought us together, and there was a church. Something that didn't exist now exists. And it's been happening pretty quick, pretty fast. And I've been running to try to keep up with God. From 2005 to 2006... this church increased its giving by 60%. You guys, I'm not a numbers guy, but anyway, the people, the accountant and people that help do that for our church through Stadia, they say that our church is one of the most generous churches in the Southeast. You believe that? This little itty-bitty place? So you guys, yeah, praise God. So the step of faith is can that kind of thing continue? I believe it can. There have been people at Highland who have been very generous. And some of that giving also came from outside our church. My mom, bless her heart, along with many others, sends our church $25 every month. And I want to be able to tell my mom, hey, mom, you can stop giving to a church you don't go to. Because somebody here who does come here every Sunday started giving $25 a month. You know, it doesn't take much when we all pitch in. And it'd be great. It'd be great if we could do that. And I know that also, what I'm saying, I know there's many of you who are already giving what you can, and that's awesome. So, but the pressing matter that we're looking at is our downtown community needs to be served, and we need a place to meet. I think the two things work together. A community center helps both of us. What kind of things would happen in this community center? Let me tell you, there would be a place to serve the homeless from. The Montreat students who are feeding on Saturday mornings, they finally have a place instead of being kicked out from park to park. There would be a space to hold music and art workshops for children. I don't know if you know how much it costs to do something like that, but it costs a pretty penny. We could offer it at much less or for nothing. There could be space for an art gallery for local artists. You know, most artists pay, I think it's like 60% of what they sell their work to the gallery that they're in. I mean, I think that's a ripoff. I think we could do something better for the local artists. There would be a space where our youth could meet instead of renting a space. There could be space for food prep, and a freezer to help provide healthy frozen meals that could help be given to solo parents. And I have a heart for that because I grew up in a single parent home. I know how tight it gets, and I know what it looks like when the refrigerator is empty and there's kids to be fed. And one of the things that I'm most excited about is there would be a space to develop 24/7 prayer. You know, to have the Highland Community, I'm excited about those things that could happen. To have a Highland Community Center become reality, it's going to take more than donuts and coffee, I'm sorry to say. Buildings that have the space we need are not cheap in the downtown area, but we are committed as a church to stay close to the crossroads of Asheville and minister to the downtown. There are only a few buildings available, and all of them would require us to renovate or outfit the building to suit the purposes of a community center. The building that we have in mind to lease will require $250,000 to outfit it, to renovate it. So together, we need to raise $250,000 outside of our budget for 2007 so that we can renovate this building in August and try to move into it by September, October. Wow, I put some timeline on that, didn't I? Okay, but here's the thing. We've been praying. Our jail groups and our jail leaders, we've been praying for the past month. We've been doing a fast. This is something that's been prayed about with this stuff we've been talking about with leaders for more than a month, but we've spent a month in fasting and prayer before this. And the conclusion that we have is, again, is this, open hands. You know, this is what we want to do, to honor you, God, not to, you know, honor ourselves. And so open hands with the time. Times can change. Open hands with the finances, that can change. And you know what? Ephesians 3:20, God says that He can do more, immeasurably more, than we can ever ask or imagine. So my hands are open to that too. God can do more than what we're imagining here. And He might do that. There are people here who think I have a weenie faith. And they're saying, Shannon, God is going to do a lot more than that in the year 2007. So, you know, my faith is still growing. I'm still learning. And I'm still growing. But those of you who have greater faith in me, you keep praying for me and keep praying for this church, all right? Because I know God is listening to you. So, I'll tell you this. On the last Sunday of March, March 25th, we're going to take a special offering to see how much we can raise of this $250,000. After March 25th, we'll see how much more work we have to do. We're probably, now, you're probably asking, now, why are we waiting until March 25th to take a special offering? Well, I know a lot of you are probably like me and my wife. We're already giving on a regular basis all that we can give. We don't have a savings account, and we don't have a retirement or personal stocks to break into. And so I'm looking around my house, and I'm asking, what do I have that I can sell? And I got an extra guitar I can sell. I got a digital camera. I have a video camera. I think I can sell those things, or I can see if I can trade them up. You know, I don't know if you heard about this guy who had a paperclip, and he kept trading it up for a better thing. Like, he got a button, and he traded the button for something else. And then, anyway, he finally traded, after a year later, he traded for a house. What he started with. So kids, grab a paperclip from home and start trading up. Kids, you can be a part of this too. So if you're like me, you might need a little time to come up with some cash to give towards this special offering towards a community center. We already have a building fund, and I'll tell you why we already have it, because there have been some people who have heard me talking about this, and they asked me, well, Shannon, do you already have a building fund? Because I want to give right now. So there are people who have already contributed to this before we even asked. I'm sorry, I got up. So I'm telling you that God is stirring up people's hearts already, saying, yes, this is what needs to happen. We need to do this. So right now, I'm officially sharing with all of you, and I'm putting the ask out there. And again, open hands. God can do what He wants to do. But just to let you know, we aren't waiting around for a building to do ministry, okay? We're not waiting around to initiate these ideas. One thing I'm very excited about is what we're doing this month, starting tomorrow with the opening of the prayer gallery. That's what we're calling this little prayer space over on 34 South Lexington. We are basically giving use of this building for $150 for the month. I run around asking other places, they're saying $2,100, $2,500 to use it for a month. And then this person, God moved through them to be gracious towards us and said, I think $150 would be about right, you know? And I was like, So are you saying we can use this for the month of January for $150? Did I hear you right? Yeah, I think that's about right. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. So anyway, it's basically this artist mechanic's garage, and we've transformed it into this place of prayer. And I'm so excited. It's a place for intimacy, to meet with God, to meet with the Lord, for intercession, for creativity, for mission. And each day for the rest of January, the prayer gallery is going to be open 4 hours a day for people to come in and find a place set apart for meeting with God. This isn't just for us, it's for anybody in the community. Anybody who's walking by, anybody you invite from another church, or a friend who doesn't even know Christ, or maybe you know some artist who would love to be in this place, because it's a place that it combusts creativity. When you walk in, you'll find the vine. It's where you can write your prayers of thanksgiving and hang them up on this vine tree. There's the wailing wall where you can post your prayer requests to God and pray for others. There's the 4610 room, which last night we were there with a group of people and we initiated this room with prayer. And anyway, 4610 room, be still and know that I'm God, Psalm 4610. There were people in there, and that was kind of like the favorite room. And it was just, it was awesome walking in there. It's that place. But there's a place where you can be still and be silent, listen, meditate, or write scriptures on the window with the paint markers. There's a worship wall within the worship room where you can add your praise to God on the wall. Then my favorite is the dressing room. There's a literal dressing room that was left in this little warehouse. And so we took it, and the dressing room is a closet where you can go and put on spiritual clothing, like compassion. And how the scriptures say, put on the new self and to clothe yourself with Christ. These are areas to pray. There's an area to pray for the nations around the world and for our own community. Well, there's articles pinned up, articles of interest that share the need. And there are areas where you can express your prayers with markers and pen and paint and clay. The prayer gallery is truly a studio for expressions of prayer. And you don't want to miss out on experiencing it. I'm telling you. When you sign up, to go one of the hours when it's open to pray, it'll pass by. You'll go there and you'll think, oh, I'm just going to spend, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes here. You'll be in there and you'll look at your watch and go, man, an hour has gone by. What was I doing? I'm telling you, when you go in there, you're stepping into a very set apart, special place. And it's wonderful. It's a point, when you sign up, you're just not signing up for something on the schedule. You're making an appointment with God. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. This place, it isn't for Bible study meetings. It isn't for youth or adult gatherings. It is not a fellowship hall for casserole dinners. This space is solely for the purpose of meeting with God in prayer and to praise Him. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. In a few minutes, there's a chart over here where you can go over and sign up. We'd like to know if people are coming or not. And so please make an appointment with God. Another thing that I'm really excited about is starting February 1st. And on February 1st, we're going to have an associate pastor who's here to help with focus towards the youth and also to help me with preaching and teaching on Sunday mornings. And I want to introduce you to Jason Garris and his wife, Doreen Garris. Come on up here. These guys, I've known them for quite a while. As you heard on the video, Doreen grew up in a youth group, and then Jason and I, we were together, all three of us were together, along with my family and others, on the What's Up America tour, going to all 50 states. We did ministry together up in Buffalo, New York. Before that, the coffee house in Kansas. Jason was faithfully there working the coffee house, talking with people that were angry and mad at the church. And what was it you were constantly saying to people?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the church. He was always apologizing. We got a special Sunday for that now around
Good.
Here. So but Jason, could you just tell us kind of your 1 minute testimony, your story of who you are and how you met Christ?
I would definitely say that I wasted a lot of my life living for myself in high school, but a interesting homeschooler came to my high school my sophomore year and continued to pray for me, continued to pursue me, and continued to just live Jesus out in front of me in my high school, despite my mocking him, making fun of him. He invited me to this guy's retreat. At that retreat, I ended up giving my life to the Lord. And from that moment on, knew that things had to change. Was it easy? No. Was it overnight? No. But it was a process. And I just began to say, okay, Lord, use me where I am. And ministry-wise, I played basketball in high school. Was immediately nicknamed the Rev as soon as I started telling my friends about Jesus. And so from that moment on, God has completely rescued, redeemed, transformed, continues to deal with me today. And I love every minute of it. So.
Awesome. Well, Doreen, can you tell us, how did you and Jason meet?
We met in 1999. We were both signed up for this thing called the What's Up America Tour, and which was 40 college-age students traveling around the country for a year. So basically, we met, did our training in Nashville. In Louisiana, we started dating. By Delaware, we were engaged, and and here we are now. So.
All right.
I didn't know anything happened in Delaware, but we'll never forget.
All right. And you guys have one child.
Yes. He's finally asleep, so.
All right.
Probably heard him crying just a few minutes ago.
And what's your boy's name?
Ezekiel.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I had a question for Zeke, and my question was, how come he didn't go to sleep last night?
You talk to your girls. You talk to all your girls. The Worthy girls, the McCready girls, they are dangerous when it comes to babies.
Got them riled up. Okay.
Get him going crazy.
Well, Jason, I know all the answers to these questions, so obviously we're asking these for everyone to get to know you. But you've done traveling ministry. You've led a youth ministry. You did an internship in Buffalo. Then you've led a youth ministry in Nashville, Tennessee for the past few years. How did you recognize your call to minister to the next generation?
Well, honestly, it was because of those that have poured into me, and the whole idea of praising God to the next generation has been something that my heart has always connected with from the very beginning. Like, when I became a Christian, when I gave my life to Christ, when I started following Him, I began to understand that these freshmen need to know about this. These seventh graders need to know about this. These people that I come in contact with need to know about this. And I wrestled with it. I argued with God for a long time over the whole calling and going into ministry full time. I wanted to pursue basketball, but God made me lay that down because He knew that I was more satisfied in basketball than Him. And it just became one of those things where I stopped fighting. And it was amazing. I mean, was it easy? No. Was it hard? Yes. Did it cause tension in my family? Yes. Did it cause tension with me and my friends? Yes. But it was God breathed, you know, and that's where I wanted to spend my life. And through the help of those that have mentored me and been able to speak truth into me and help me pursue that, they helped me define the ministry that the Lord has really called me to. And so just that whole having those older, wiser, you know, more experienced people to pour into me really got me to see, you know, God wants to keep this thing going. It's a story that's been going since the beginning of time, and it's just going to continue going. And so I just want my little chunk of time to count for something, you know? So I guess all that's right. It. So.
And you did, you played, you were a walk-on on one of the basketball teams. What school was that?
Georgia State University. I walked on, and we had one person clap for Georgia State.
Nobody else cares about
that. No one cares. Awesome. I'll talk to you afterwards. We'll drink coffee.
All right. So you like to play basketball?
Yes, I do. I still love it. I still try and play as much as I can.
The other question is, did you get a mountain bike for Christmas?
No, I did not.
Okay. He's working on it because he knows he's coming, and he knows there's a bunch of you guys that like to mountain bike. So.
Yeah, my parents love to run, and I hate running, and they keep giving me gifts that deal with running, and I keep explaining to them, I hate running, and they don't get it. They gave us a baby runner with brakes and things on it. I'm like, it's like a four-wheeler. You can take off-roading, but you have to push it.
All right. Cool. Well, Jason, just tell us what's in your heart. And Doreen, you can answer this too. What's in your heart, or what is your vision for reaching the next generation for Christ?
I think it really does stem personally from where the Lord, I believe, has called and pushed me in my relationship with Him. I've heard it said that the chief end of man, the reason that man is here, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I think way too often we're like, glorify God, man, that's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy. It's going to be tedious. But I think we forget about the enjoy Him forever. And when you enjoy Him, the goal is your life is going to glorify Him. And so I guess for me in high school, the phrase, Man is most satisfied when we're glorifying God, and we are glorifying God the most when we are satisfied in Him. So I guess my call and my challenge to this generation is to be satisfied in Jesus. And that's simply because when you're satisfied in something, you glory in it. You're like, man, I love my Xbox 360. It's awesome. I love it. It's so cool. And I'm going to tell everybody about it. Well, I want to take that energy that God has put in us to be crazy and passionate about things, but first and foremost, Jesus. Because when you are satisfied in Christ, you go, you answer His call, you listen, you're looking for ministry, you're serving, you're loving, you're leading. I mean, it stems from being satisfied in Christ. And so, however that looks, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. So,
what about you, Doreen?
I think I'm just really excited about being part of a ministry that's not afraid to get their hands dirty and to really show people the love of Christ. And it's really hard when you're so wrapped up in church ministry to get outside of that Christian bubble and really minister to lost and hurting people. And I'm really hungry for that. So,
all right. Well, hey, what we want to do right now is these two, their church already knows that they're leaving, and their leadership, and they're going to, you still haven't had a chance to tell the students that they're going to be leaving. So we'd like to pray for them and for that moment when they're saying goodbye, but also we want to pray a welcome for them and a blessing on the ministry that they're going to be helping with here. And Lord, we just pray that would be our prayer, our anthem, and Lord, just that we would live life with our nonverbal theme, Lord, with our hands raised to You in that attitude of our hearts and not just physically, Lord. And God, I pray that You bless these people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.